You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. So I'm always talking about schools and colleges and how I don't think that they do the job that they're intended to do and that they're supposed to do. And I am so excited to have found a company, a school, a way of learning that does what I think schools should do. And I want to talk about it because I just think that this is the future. And it should be the future.
Well, I know you've been really busy lately doing a tremendous amount of research on schools, universities, colleges, the whole educational, upper division educational system. So I'm dying to find out what you found out.
Well, and the thing that motivated me, honestly, is this whole far left movement. And I believe that we get that tendency from our schools and our colleges and our universities. By far, we get it from there. So this conversation, though, to me is just so exciting. And anybody listening can take something from this and share it with somebody else. And, I mean, just make a huge difference in their life. And I think that's really exciting. So I saw this gentleman on television just for a couple of moments. And I actually took a picture of the screen when he was on so that I could remember who he was and I could remember the name of his company. And then I started researching it. And, you know, college has been the thing that we say is the be-all and end-all. You've got to go to college no matter what. I have never in my lifetime agreed with that. And I myself do not have a university degree. I don't have a, I went to school to be a lawyer. I got my bachelor's in pre-law. Do I use that? No, not at all. I just don't think it was a worthwhile experience other than that, you know, I met a boyfriend or two, right? Had some fun in college.
And then you graduated up, of course, and met Dr. Ron.
That's right. Absolutely.
Who's not an attorney. Okay, but stayed at a Holiday Inn once.
That's right. But this company has an idea that
what's the name
college,
of the company?
Well, I'm not going to tell you just yet.
Oh, darn.
College, you know, you go into college and you pick some major and you walk away with crippling debt and a piece of paper that probably is not worth the paper it's printed on, to be honest. And I have to tell you, and I think that you've probably experienced the same thing, as an employer, these people come into my office in droves for jobs and literally cannot write a resume, cannot spell words properly, cannot do math, cannot do the simplest things that I would expect of them. So anyway, this company, and I've said this, and now, I'll just say he's taking my idea, but that wouldn't be true because he's come up with a great company. But this is the same theory I've been talking about for a long time. Now it's time to push back against the colleges and control your own fate and your own future and have the place that is teaching you have a buy-in to you succeeding. And that is what this company does, and it's called Praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S. And what they do is they believe that people that enter the workforce, they need to know how to act. They need to know what their value message is. They need to have something to offer to their employer, and they need to feel secure in that so that that comes through, which it comes through in an interview. And they need to know more or less what they want to do and what they can do. And they believe, as I believe, that the time that you went to work for a company and stayed for 40 years is over. People move around. And so you need to develop diverse skills and change with the times and have things to offer to your employers. And a lot of what you have to offer doesn't need to be that thing on a paper, Ron. It needs to be common sense. It needs to be a good work ethic. And it needs to have some skill level attached to it.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I've been in your company when you've been interviewing people, and then we've had discussions both before and afterwards, and you've expressed, you know, your disappointment with the vast majority of people that come and interview with you. You know, and then just the other day, we had a person come to our office at Martinelli and Associates and interview for an administrative assistant position, which is a pretty significant position in our firm. And, you know, do you remember that I didn't even ask the person if they had a degree? I don't know if you remember
that during the interview. And I don't either.
And but what did I ask them? And what did you ask this person? What is your job experience? What of value? Maybe this is what you're talking about when you say the value statement. What do you bring to the table? What life experience, what education, and I'm not referring to a university education, you know, what type of experiential education, what types of, you know, what is your skill set? What do you bring to the table that will enhance our company? Is that what you're referring to as a value statement? Because that's what it's like. And I think these college kids that go out, they get a bachelor's degree, they get a master's degree, for God's sakes, like you said, Linda, they are absolutely in debt up to their ears, and they can't even make a good interview presentation.
Exactly. And what this company does is they help you with just those things. So it's a whole different paradigm of thinking now, one that treats young adults less like a cash vending machine and more like a customer, because they are a customer. Because I think I'm not going to give away the big secret about this company just yet, because it's just very exciting.
I'll wait for the drum roll.
Yeah, but it's a new philosophy about education, where you go and you learn what you want to get plugged into, what your career, you go through a process of discovering, you know, your career path, and not just going in and taking some absurd class like the meaning of Beyonce's music. You know, I mean,
and we laugh. You know, some people will laugh at that, but there are classes just like
exactly
that,
and that
even,
class,
even worse than that class.
Oh yeah,
okay,
yeah. So this is not to be a risky place. It's to take a risk on yourself, to build projects, to learn how to start your own business, to work at high growth startups, to learn how to be valuable to somebody else.
And you know what? And also experientially, all right, you have to be socialized. And in other words, you have to learn how to get along with people that have different views than yours, that have maybe a different political ideology than yours, a different value system than yours. And you can't, you know, you can't ignore those engagements, and you can't want to have, you know, a blanket in a safe space. And we can't, you know, classify anything that we don't like, or we don't like to hear, or we don't believe in, as offensive or hate speech. Because what college and university is supposed to be is the living laboratory for you to pick up some very important social and employment skill sets.
Right. And they believe that you're an individual, not a statistic. And they say, which I have said forever, and I'm just so happy somebody else is saying it, what matters at the end of the day is not that piece of paper. It's how you keep score with yourself, okay? It is, are you doing work that makes you fulfilled, that makes you happy, that makes you come alive? Are you spending time how you want to spend your time? Are you investing in those things that matter to you?
And you know what? Also, have you failed? Okay, have you failed at something? Have you tried something? Have you experimented with something and failed? And what have you learned from that failure that you can use to be successful in something else?
Right. And a big thing that they teach, Ron, is the direct opposite of what our colleges are teaching. So I want you to pick it up from this statement that I'm going to say, because I hope you see it the same way I do. the best way to get what you want in life is to figure out how to help other people get what they want.
Yeah. And that's, again, it speaks to the comment that you made about a value statement. How can you help my company do better? Right. And not criticize my company, but, you know, or criticize my business model. How can you enhance the business model? You know, I think that's so important. What do you bring from outside that we are missing and that will enhance our business model?
And what do our colleges teach students now? Look at all these protesters. That's what they teach. They teach them to be entitled, and they teach them to hate America. They don't teach them to be self-fulfilled as this school teaches people to be.
But you know what? Let me go beyond that, because it's not just a hatred for America, which is troubling in and of itself. But what bothers me the most is that they teach segregation and hate of other people.
Yes.
So it isn't just, I disagree with you, but, you know, it's an ad hominem. You're a racist. You're a white supremacist. You are a, you know, a fascist. You know, it are these things. And I just don't disagree with what you have to say, but I hate you. And that's what they're learning in these universities.
Yes.
They're intolerant.
Yes.
And then they have to come out in the world, in the employment environment, with all sorts of different people, different sexes, different sexual identities, different education, different cultures, different religion, different races, and different ideas and value systems. And if you cannot engage productively, then you're of no use to my company. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and look at all of the things that you just covered. But really, everything that we need to know in school, in higher learning, comes down to one real basic thing. If you have an unmet need, and I have the desire and I have the know-how and skills to fulfill it, then we can have a conversation. That's all that employment is about. But yet the people that come in from college are so entitled. The first things that they want to know is what inflated amount of money that they will get for having no experience and no knowledge, and what will their benefits be? That, how much vacation time?
There you go.
I
was going to say that. I'm glad you did.
That is what and my insurance, and what do I get? There is never, honestly, never somebody that comes in and says, "Here's what I bring to the table for you." Now, it used to happen when I first started in business.
Oh, me too.
But not anymore.
So let me ask you a question. What about the university and college system inculcates that mindset?
Well, I definitely think that the left-leaning instructors do. But let me talk some more about this place, because I'm so excited about it.
And say the name again.
The name is Praxis, Praxis. And this is the brainchild of a young man. And this young man thought of doing this. I mean, I'd be right there beside him, because this is just my idea of what school should do. When someone creates the way to satisfy an unmet need of someone else, that is success. And what do you get for fulfilling that need? You get a paycheck. Okay, so they get their need fulfilled and you get a paycheck. How many employees do we hear about everywhere that are not fulfilling that need, but they still get a paycheck? And the first place I can think of right away is a lot of the government workers and a lot of the people that work in the higher educational universities. So what this place does is they work with the students to get their, what they want to learn, how to refine what it is that their skills are, what they want to do, how to do an interview and a resume and create the them that they want to be in the work world, right? By using what their skills are and helping them to get more. Because basically, if it's a college. We said this just the other day, and it's just so interesting that this has come up now. When we were talking, I said, wouldn't it be really cool if you didn't have to pay the university until you got your job? And
I said, you're nuts.
And that is exactly how Praxis works. You do not pay them for your education until you get your job.
Well, I've got a couple of really easy questions. Number one, where is Praxis located in the United States?
Well, I actually don't know where they're physically located, but a lot of their, anybody can go to discoverpraxis.com.
Okay.
And it has all the information that you need.
Now, let me get one more question. So what kind of education do they provide? Is it a technical education, a liberal arts, a combination of those? What kind of education do you go there and you take?
Well, I think that is what, I don't know the exact answer to that. I think that what they do is they investigate what your skills and your potentials are, and then they focus in those directions. They have a full-fledged college, so people can look that up. I'm kind of talking at the more global idea of what this school does for people and how it has skin in the game to make people be successful, and how you do not walk out of there with a debt that you can never repay.
Right. No, and I just wish people would pay attention to this, and you know, students, but especially parents. You know, when you send your kid away to college, first of all, there really needs to be a need to do that, and you need to work with your, you know, with your child, with your young man or woman, to determine really what is the need to go to an institution of higher learning. Okay, because you know, I've been an instructor, I've been a professor, I've been a division dean. And when I was teaching, I would get, especially in the four-year college, in undergraduate students, I would get students in my class that constantly had a deer in the headlights look. And they were so out of place and confused and troubled. And I'd ask them, you know, to come in and see me, after class. And I would sit them down and I'd say, hey, look, you know, you're flunking my class. And, you know, how do you feel about that? And what do you want? Why are you here? You know, I mean, not being, you know, mean or condescending. I'm seriously concerned about the student. And, you know, most of the time they would tell me, well, I'm here because my parents expect me to be in college. Well, that's certainly not the right answer. But listen, I want to continue this conversation with you because I know you're all fired up, and I just want to learn more about this Praxis and the methodology at that university. How about I buy you a cup of coffee?
You got it.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. Okay, 2 cups of coffee it is.
Okay. Well, while you were getting the coffee, you asked me if this school was accredited. And the whole point is you don't need a degree to be successful. The degrees, unless you're going to be a doctor or an attorney or something like that, you can, as long as you bring value to a company, you will get hired. And there are, on this website, discoverpraxis.com, there are numerous success stories. And I know numerous people who have been successful without having a degree. What you need is the work ethic, the skill. If you want to get into something else, they help you with tech, they help you with, you know, all different things, but they, 93% of the people there get a job, and the average salary in their first year is $50,000 plus. So this is more successful than college has been. You've got people working at McDonald's at the window that have college degrees. The college degrees today and the classes that they teach to many, many businesses are worthless. Now, unless you're going to do something of a very high-tech nature, but even so, there is so much learning on the job. We have a friend who just yesterday was given a job, and the job pays very well, and he had no experience whatsoever in this job, and they're going to train him on the job. Doesn't have a college degree, doesn't have any of those things, and I believe that is more the wave of the future.
But he does have things. And that's why,
absolutely.
And that's why he got
not
hired.
That piece of paper.
No. What he has is he has common sense. He has maturity. He's articulate. And he has a great deal of meaningful life experience.
And he has no black marks on his background.
Right, because he's friendly and very engaging.
So if people, you know, keep their nose clean in life and they do the right things, those things pay off down the road.
Right.
I love this college. I love the fact that it does not take any money until you succeed. And that, I think, is how all colleges should work. Now, when we're talking about colleges, we looked up a few numbers here. I asked you to look up. You had no idea why I was asking you to look up.
But since do what I'm told.
Since you're the numbers guy, let's just take in the UC system.
That'd be the University of California system.
Where they have 10 campuses.
Universities.
They have 285,000 students and 22,700 faculty and 155,000 staff. That's 177,700 people to support those 285. That is less than a 2-to-1 ratio. That's just crazy. The amount of money, if you live on campus, that you would pay to go
per year
is $63,900. What student do you know that makes that kind of money that is expendable money? If you live off campus, it's
$59,900. That's about
$4,000. So
big deal.
Not a lot of difference.
Right.
Their budget is $34.5 billion with a B. And their endowments that they get are $21 billion.
Can you imagine any university system that has a, how many billion?
$21
billion. $21 billion endowment. Okay. Just get an idea of what a city budget is, a major city budget, major city like, you know, New York, like Los Angeles. And I'm not even sure that it's like $21 billion, okay?
And if you go to Harvard, your average cost is going to be $71,650. And look what we're getting out of these educational systems. I think that they're almost to the point of being worthless. I would rather see much smaller campuses, much smaller schools teaching things like, you know, like you have a medical school or a law school, those types of things, rather than have these big bloated systems where they're just taking people's money and leaving them in huge amounts of debt and really no job prospect. They don't help them with that. They don't, you know, it just doesn't go anywhere. And they offer such ridiculous worthless classes for students that think that because they're taking it in college, it means something, but it means nothing to life. And these students come out unable to balance a checkbook, unable to do the most basic things of living life. And that's why I love this
practice. Or working on the job. It's like you said, and I think I mentioned this in maybe one of our other coffee conversations, but we get, you know, students, with me, I get recruits, you know, police recruits and things like that, you know, in the police academy, and they can't even write three sentences, you know, three cogent sentences. And when you take them on, because you know how important report writing is in the police academy, and you say, hey, you know, you need some serious work, and I go, well, I got A's at the university, or I got A's in college in English and in English lit. I go, you got to be kidding me. You can't even string three sentences together, for God's sakes. But I will tell you this, having taught in that system, is that because they're paying so much, maybe you don't know this, but because they're paying so much money, it's intimidating to the professors, to the instructors, especially adjunct faculty. Now, I was never intimidated by it, but I know a lot of faculty that was, where they're getting a failing grade and they complain, and they go to the division dean and they complain that they're getting a failing grade, and they stick it right in the face of faculty and they say, hey, look, I'm paying $60,000 a year. Okay, I've got to pass this class. And then the next thing you know, the division deans with weak knees call in the faculty member for a private, you know, consultation. They say, hey, look, you got to do whatever you can to get this, you know, past this person.
Or they actually override.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I had that happen to me.
Right.
I had that happen to me. I had two of my students in undergraduate teaching criminology. I caught them cheating on an exam with crib notes and everything and stuff up their sleeves, two people right next to each other. And I called them out of the class. I failed them both, and they needed my class to pass to get their undergraduate degree. You know what? They went right to the division dean, and the division dean had that private meeting with me. And I said, well, I don't care what you do, but I'm not passing them in my class. You figure out what you want to do. They took the class, my class, during the summer with another adjunct professor. And of course, that professor was basically told them to pass, right? Pass these students that were cheaters. Well, and you know, they're going into a law enforcement degree program.
And it's the same thing with the online universities, who charge a tremendous amount of money.
Absolutely.
For classes that cost them very, very little money. Very,
correct.
Very little money.
They pay adjunct instructors in these online colleges and universities pennies on the dollar.
So when you talk about these professors, these liberal professors teaching these classes, and they berate our capitalist society here, and they want our Marxist society, isn't it interesting that they are absolutely raping the students because we have a capitalist society, and they are making a huge amount of profit? And then you can't even get rid of them because they have tenure. Our higher learning is so bloated with overspending and with misspending, because they waste money incredibly. Napolitano.
She is the chancellor of the UC system in,
right,
California.
I mean, just absolutely ridiculously spends wasteful money on parties and food and different things. And these students are paying all this money. I want to go on to say that, just tying in the whole education theme, with this pandemic, what we've created, and now, of course, with the whole policing thing and with the riots and the protests and all this, there was an article that I think is really interesting that talks about Black youth bearing the permanent scars from this recession, that students that were about to take jobs, or students that had just been about to graduate, the job market has totally collapsed.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect them, because now they cannot get started in their life. They can't get started with their career. They can't move on to the next phase, which affects so many things. It affects how they live, where they live, self-esteem, you name it, all kinds of things. So now what we're seeing is that students in this difficult market are going to have a very hard time finding a job at all. All the more reason to do something like Praxis, where you refine who you are, what you can do, what you bring to the table, and you're not going in just saying, you know, well, here I am, what can I do, that kind of thing. You are saying, here I am, and here's what I bring to you, and here's how I'm going to fulfill this need for you.
No, I think that's a wonderful model and a fantastic concept. You know, we were talking about ridiculous classes like, you know, analyzing Beyonce's music or something like that. You know, the one class that I didn't see at the university, and maybe they have one now, but they certainly need one, and that is how to get a job, right? How to present.
How to go in and present. Yes.
You know, how to present yourself. It's called the art of representation. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you represent yourself? How do you represent the company? Hey, this is how I represent myself, and this is what I would intend to do to represent the company. They don't even know how to do that. And they're just completely inarticulate. And you know, truth be told, with the labor laws as crazy as they are and as protective as they are, I mean, there are certain questions that an employer can't even ask, you know, a job applicant. However, you can put them through some cognitive processing tests, you know, while they're in the selection process in taking the interview. I know one of the things that really sold me on the person that I think we're going to hire is that this person said, you know, one of my best skills is finances and one of my best skills is collection. And that resonated with me right away, because there's a lot of things that you can teach people in this job on OJT, but one of the things you really can't teach them is finances, and you can't teach them collection, you know, because as you know, because you have to make that call, right? Every once in a while, hey, you owe me money, you gotta pay me. And there really is a particular negotiation skill to get someone to pay us money. And every business is all about income and outgo, right? It's about right. Billables and receivables. But anyway, I just wanted to say, again, you know, I never asked that person, you know, what your degree was. I said, tell me about your life and your job experience.
Well, and I personally started, really one of my very first jobs was collections. So I've always been very good at it. And back in the day, if somebody didn't pay and I was just a young thing, I'd actually get in my car and go drive out to their company and say, hey,
oh, you have a check? I'll come over and get it.
I didn't tell them I was coming. I showed up. And so many people were very intimidated that they did hand me checks right there.
Well, you're an intimidating person. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I really like this model, this Praxis model that you're talking about. And then, you know, again, and maybe we're going to be redundant, but I can't help but hearken over to, you know, our company, our ETC forensic company, education, training and certification. And, you know, we've had a couple of roundabouts with one of the, you know, the law enforcement certification bodies. And our training is so much better than much of the training that this certification body has and certifies. And they just give us, you know, a hard time. But I'll tell you what, I would stack up any of our students that come and take our classes at ETC Forensic against any person with a criminal justice law enforcement degree. Any day I would have our people take them on, because you learn so much from experienced forensic professionals that are doing the job every single day, not some sort of theoretical professor. So I'll move away from etcforensic.com and go back to the university, because there is a big difference between theoretical training and practical training. And when I went to the university, I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, our motto at our school was learn by doing. And it was a very practical based education. You got 2 years of theory, right? That's your general education stuff, your theory, your psychology, you know, your basic stuff. And then after that, it was, here's how you do it. Here's how you apply all the stuff we're talking about, and here's how you make it happen. For instance, our university, and there's actually two Cal Polys and in California. There's one in San Luis Obispo, and there's one in Pomona. The only two universities in the California State University system that requires a senior project, where you have to build something, you have to do something. So if you're an architecture major, you've got to build a house.
Oh, yeah.
Or you have to build a structure.
Yeah.
And it has to be a fully functioning structure, right? If you're taking natural resources management or agriculture, they're going to give you a field and you're going to do all of your genetic research and you are going to plant that field and you're going to come up with some sort of plant or vegetable or fruit or something like that. You know, I mean, I enjoyed that education so much. And then I've gone back because, you know, I ended up teaching there. And I went back and the whole paradigm had changed, Linda. And it was very, very disappointing.
Well, and I think college is very disappointing right now. And the other thing that I think is really important, and we've talked about this many times, is that I think that trade schools are very, very important rather than colleges or universities, because those jobs are always needed. They're good paying jobs. And we don't have enough people in the trades that are, you know, well qualified, and we need that. So those are other directions. I would like to see people move away from the universities for a myriad of reasons. And I want to talk about that after I get you your last cup of coffee.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
We're all coffeed up and round in the bin.
Yep. And I want to kind of bring this full circle to what we started talking about, what we've been talking about. And here's a great culmination to our conversation about universities and schools. The conservative group Turning Point, and I think you've heard of them.
I have.
They launched a new initiative just this week, encouraging college and university donors who believe their values no longer align with their alma maters to decommit their gifts and redirect the money to different causes rather than fund left-wing indoctrination. I think that's another brilliant idea. Praxis is a brilliant idea. This is a brilliant idea. So we just talked about some of these endowments that the systems have, $31 billion to the UC system for only 10 schools, billion dollars. If people that no longer feel that the UC system represents their values, that they've gone too far left, that they're indoctrinating students rather than teaching them valuable career skills, they should divest their money from there and put it to another worthy cause that more aligns with their particular goals in life or their beliefs. It could be a hospital. It could be a conservative college. It could be a food bank. It could be whatever they want.
It could be a charter school. There's
sure.
a whole bunch of different things. And,
charter
you know,
schools is a great way to put money in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially in minority communities.
Especially. And they love charter schools
and
minority
know why? Because
communities.
I'm sorry, I talked right over you, but you're exactly right. Because, you know, they're stuck with that lousy public education system. They're stuck with that system. And, of course, the unions, you know, the teachers' unions put so much political pressure that it's hard to move the ball. You know, and I know President Trump is very much in favor of charter schools. in disadvantaged communities. And I know Betsy Voss, the education secretary, is very much behind charter schools. And I have always firmly believed that if you pay your tax money, you should be able to take that damn kid anywhere you want him or her to go to be educated outside of a, you know, private school, like an expensive private school that's just not affordable. But charter schools can be very affordable if they're subsidized. And just look at the ridiculous amount of money state and local governments pay to the public school system. Okay,
again, it's a completely bloated system with a union that does nobody any good.
Exactly.
So I love that charter school idea of putting the money there, but Turning Point does not tell people or even suggest where to put their money.
Correct.
Just suggest that they take it out of these universities that no longer align with their particular beliefs.
So there's a lot of karma in defunding. It's not only the police that can be defunded, but these universities and colleges can be defunded as well. So just reduce the amount of endowment. My God, Linda, when you were telling me that the University of California system, their annual endowment is over $21 billion.
$31 billion with a B. Right.
$31 billion. Can you imagine what money like that, even a modicum of some of that money, could do in the charter school system for disadvantaged communities?
Well, in the very first day that they opened this particular project, they had the first donors that donated hefty amounts to different universities. So the first donor to participate in Divest U was Stacy Feinberg, and she was from Harvard. And what Stacy said is, "For decades, we admired your Noah's Ark of cultures and ideals. But then you filled your hallowed halls with ideological arsonists, and as your ivory tower burns, you have the audacity to ask alumni to pay for the firemen." Feinberg said in a statement, "You're not getting another dime from us, Harvard." And then the second donor was Keith Rose, who donated to Baylor, right here in Texas, I believe. And he said, "The first thing I had to do was choose to not support a mechanism that wasn't teaching or educating my children, but was instead subverting them and changing them through ideology." Mm-hmm. I love this. And the one thing that Divest U and Turning Point encourage the people that are divesting from donating to these big liberal left-leaning schools is that they be very vocal about the reasons why, so that the schools get the idea and understand why they are losing those endowments. I just think that this is amazingly wonderful. And with all of the bad things happening right now, the couple things we've talked about this evening have been just really a light in a storm to me. Just exciting things, a different way to get a job that really will help, not only help your future financially, but mentally. Get a job that you love. You know, so many people just work at a job and they hate what they do. And the idea is to do something that truly, truly fulfills you.
No, that's right. And there are so many different educational opportunities and models out there. And I think people and parents, and kids going to college or thinking about going to college and university, just, you know, for a second, you're graduating from high school, just take a deep breath and step back for a minute and ask yourself some really important probative questions about your future. I mean, do you really need to go to college? You know, what is prompting you to go to college? Do you have a game plan? What's your end game? You know, what do you want to do when you grow up, right? That type of thing.
And if you don't know, don't go to college.
Exactly.
Because you're not getting anything from it. You have to have a goal. And I don't think that people at 18 years old have a life goal. Very rarely do they know what they're going to do just yet.
Exactly. And just think, Linda, how many people switch majors in their first or second year. I would suggest that more people switch their majors in their first or second years than don't.
Yes,
would you not agree?
I agree.
Would you not agree? Yeah, sure. And so, and that's an indication that you're not, you know, solidified or confirmed with your end game plan. And you know what? That's okay, because you're still young. For God's sakes, if you go into college or the university at 18 years old in your sophomore year, you're like only 20 years old. Okay. So listen, just calm down, take a deep breath and ask yourself, you know, where do I want to be 5 years from now? Where do I want to be 10 years from now? And I mean, I always had, you know, a 4-year plan, and then I had a 6-year plan, and I had an 8-year plan, you know. Have a plan. Plan your work and work your plan. Now listen, if your plan is, man, I'm so glad I got out of high school and I just want to take 2 years and screw off, you know, and I want to go travel, and I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Europe. I want to go someplace. Maybe I want to do some volunteer work. Maybe you're religious and you want to do some, you know, missionary work or something like that. For God's sakes, go do it, because you're young.
Yeah,
do it
and
now.
You don't want to just go to college and rack up debt that you're going to have for the rest of your
life
with no goal in mind. But I just think that these, the trade school, the Praxis model, are great. And I think that if anybody is fortunate enough to be able to give endowments to the UC system or Harvard or any of the different colleges out there that are have really gone overboard with the left-leaning, and you want to do something better with your money, I think that is a great message to send, because we cannot keep I don't even know if it's a word, Marxizing, making our kids into Marxists at this age group because of our Marxist-leaning professors in these universities.
Well, exactly. And those professors are ratified. You know, their behaviors are ratified by the university or college administration. Okay, they enable those people. They ratify the behavior. And then in turn, the Marxist professors and new progressive left or neo-socialist professors that they have at these colleges and universities just indoctrinate and sort of radicalize these students. I mean, how many friends do we have that have sent their good kids, good parents, okay, and sent good kids away to college, and, you know, they come back for their first vacation, like Christmas vacation, and at the dinner table, the stuff that comes out of their mouths, and you're going, oh my God, my kid's been radicalized.
Oh, we know so many people who have said that, and
with good families, and good families.
They send them right back.
Oh, I know. They send them right back. But my point is, you have a good kid that comes from a good family where there's been a lot of parental engagement with that kid, and they come back that quickly. Okay, so they go to school in September, the end of August, and they come back in December for Christmas vacation, and all of a sudden, it's like you're talking to Vladimir Lenin or Trotsky or Karl Marx or something, and you're going, you know, you go wash your mouth out with soap, you know.
Who
is this kid? But that just shows you, well, I mean, that just underscores what we're talking about. And the kids don't even know, because they never learn history. They don't teach civics. I mean, you and I have talked about this time and time again. And the people that are teaching them this stuff are just theoreticians. You know, they're not people that have real jobs, okay? I mean, you know, right? I mean, you know, we know a young man that went away to college, you know, and to get, you know, a business degree. And all of a sudden he comes back to the business and he's telling the parent, who is an extremely successful parent, you know, everything that you're doing is wrong. Oh, wait a minute. You know, the parent's looking at that kid and saying, wait a minute, I'm like at the top of my trade. I'm like, I'm respected by everybody. I'm doing extremely well. What's wrong with my business model? Well, you're not doing it the way the professor taught us in school. Wait a minute. That's all theory, buddy. get a notepad, pick up a book, start selling some stuff, and then talk to me after you've made your first $1 million.
A professor who I'm sure has never owned a business
in their life.
And again, couldn't balance their checkbook.
In their life.
Yeah. There's so much more to know. And these pie in the sky professors, with their really very far left leaning and Marxist theories and their hatred of America, are dangerous to the future of America.
Yeah, but let me take the other side of it, because the other side of it is equally unfortunate, sad, and should be fought against. And that is, there are a number, and I can only say a number, I can't even say a lot, of conservative or common sense conservative professors and teachers and adjuncts that teach in the college and university system. And those people are chastised by the counterculture. Some are forced, you know, out of their positions. Those people that have,
oh, absolutely.
What do they have, tenure or not?
The cancel culture.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
Yes.
And they can't even get a word in edgewise. And even when they're trying to follow the rules and regulations of the college or university charter, right, the rules and regulations of what faculty can do and what they can't do, even when they're following those directives to the letter, they are chastised, and basically counterculture forces them to resign from their positions.
Well,
that's terrible.
There are groups on college campuses now, conservative students who are finding their voice, and they are insisting that the schools give them equal voice and stop canceling them, stop canceling the speakers that they want to have, the conservative speakers. And, you know, I'm happy to see that too. So, you know, there is still a strong voice out there. And, you know, with this election, which right at this point in time, 100 and some days away from an election, it's very disturbing to see Biden ahead. Not sure if I believe that he's truly ahead.
They said double digits today. They said 11 points.
Yeah, I know. I just can't imagine that America could possibly want this guy with the dismal
record
that he has for his entire career, but especially when he was vice president with Obama,
right.
Their dismal record for 8 years. The economy was terrible. There are lies. There are
more people on food stamps than ever in the history of the United States. I think they had 26 million people on food stamps or some ridiculous thing like that.
And if you want to read something really interesting, the story about that's coming out about Benghazi and what was known in the administration of Obama and Biden and the purposeful lies that they told the public.
And
about
Susan Rice.
And Susan Rice also, right. She was their mouthpiece, but they purposefully told those lies, and they knew. And this is part of the investigation that William Barr is doing, and they found all of these things, and also the foundation that we subscribe to.
Judicial Watch.
Judicial Watch.
Great organization.
If you just go on their website, you can see all about it,
right.
and see what they're finding out about Benghazi. So how people could even want this guy to be president, and with his relationships with China and with what he and his son, how much money they made, this is such a bad thing for this country.
Well, you know, Linda, like you said, and it is worrisome when you see a lot of polls, matter of fact, all the polls, as a matter of fact, show Biden ahead of President Trump.
But they did last time, too.
But they did last time, too. And I will just speculate that the silent majority is even more silent this time around. Okay? Last time, they were somewhat, they were hopeful. But this time, they're extremely quiet. And I believe it's because of the counterculture. And they are so worried about putting a Trump bumper sticker on their car, or, you know, flying a Trump flag, or putting a Trump placard in front of their house, or even talking about supporting the President of the United States for fear of retaliation, retribution, you know, vandalism, you know, all these different things that they're not talking. But I, just as a common sense conservative and a person of practical experience, I think that America is so darn angry out there. I think that the silent majority is extremely angry, and I would like to see these polls in another 2 months and see what they have to take a look at. Hey, but listen, while we're on it, Linda, let's talk to our listeners and our followers about how they can continue to listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married.
Well, you can go to AmericaOutloud.com, and if you'd like to listen live to us every day at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then you can just figure out in your time zone where that is. We are on every single day during the week. And if you want to hear us on podcasts, because maybe you work at that time or whatever, or you're busy or you're having dinner, you can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast. You can listen on TuneIn, Apple Podcast. You can listen just about everywhere you can get a podcast.
So we're pretty much in the cloud 24/7. So if you miss, you know, this program, you'll pick it up in a couple of days, and you can go back over past programs because, you know, they're always very enlightening. They're very informative. Linda and I just tell you what we think, and we tell you about the news of the day. But we all know that you're common sense conservatives, and you've got your own minds, and we're certainly not going to tell you what to think. That's why you listen to the show and make up your own minds.
Yeah, we're just telling people what we think based on what we hear every day.
And I'm just going to give my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, a little plug because it's no longer on Amazon. They took it off the shelves, but you can get it on my forensic site at dronmartinelli.com, drronmartinelli.com, all one word. And the book, I think we're going into our seventh printing. It's flying off the shelves, and for good reason. So listen, if you're concerned about the future of America and Marxism taking over the republic and, you know, our democracy and our rule of law, then pick up a copy of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and The War on Police. Linda, you're ready to call it?
I'm ready to call it.